Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
I think anyone who watched the press conference, I don't think it's going to change any hearts and minds. Meaning, if you didn't believe him to begin with, you still don't believe him. And if you believed him to begin with, you feel even stronger that he's been wrong. I think, you know, by traditional scandal press conference standards, I don't know that he helped himself in the sense that the frequent references to himself in the third person, the notion that his family wasn't there at all, I think there wasn't anything that really would dramatically change the circumstances surrounding the whole controversy. So I don't know that the dial moved one way or another.
That's Charlie Matizian from Politico.com, who says he doesn't think anybody was swayed one way or the other by Herman Cain's press conference this week, where he addressed the sexual harassment allegations that have been raised against him. That's how we start this hour of our talk radio review. Welcome in. Doug Steffen here with Bill O'Reilly, talking to political analyst Charles Krauthammer about whether Cain's campaign will be able to survive all these accusations.
You think the Cain campaign can survive?
I think it can, but it won't be easy. It's going to require repeated exertions like the one when Cain had his press conference. It's a high-wire act. I think he crossed the wire just about intact. I think he made one mistake, and that mistake is to blindly to blame it on what he called the Democratic machine. You can't go around making charges if you don't know if they're true or not. Remember, last week, his chief of staff on the special report blamed the Perry campaign, and they had to sort of walk that one back.
Well, he didn't walk it back last night, Charles.
He was under attack himself and saying he's the subject of unsubstantiated charges. You should be a little bit careful about attributing that.
Okay.
But on the substance, I thought he defended himself in a way that was rather effective.
Yeah, it was authoritative, and if he's telling the truth, I mean, he certainly put the other side on the defensive, because he said flat out, I didn't do anything wrong, and it's bogus, and he doesn't even know this woman who came forth. Now, last night I had all the Republican presidential contenders on a radio, and Cain did not walk it back. He said he is convinced Perry campaign began this cycle, and now he believes that he's being piled on. That every opportunist in the world is coming out of the woodwork for whatever reason, because it's an easy play, and it is. The media can't get enough of this story. We've done all kinds of studies on how the media is covering the Cain story, as opposed to the John Edwards story, as opposed to Bill Clinton's story in the 90s, and it's just astronomical. CNN is just making, they've turned it into the Cain Network. It's the Cain Network now over there. And Herman Cain has got a really, really tough road to hoe, because the establishment Republicans, as you know, weren't on his side to begin with.
Yeah, but the establishment Republicans are not the ones behind this. In fact, as you said, Cain himself isn't even sure who it is. Is it the Perry campaign? That's not a Democratic machine. It's one or the other. I think you should stop throwing out accusations and simply talk about the substance. And as you said at the top of the show, this is a situation that is inherently one that you cannot adjudicate, because you don't know it's a private event.
With any fairness.
And it requires humility. Because we can't know, you have to have some sympathy with all sides, even though it requires sort of a logical gymnastics, since you know that one side or the other is lying. But since we can never know, in principle, at least you ought to have some humility in not judging the players here.
That's not the country we live in now. And I'm saying this because I respect my audience more than any audience on the face of the earth. We live in a country where instant judgments are made based on nothing, and people are destroyed. And obviously, some people want to destroy Herman Cain. You know, they want to destroy him. All of these people came out 15, 16 years after the fact. Want to destroy the man. They know he's going to be destroyed. They know his family, everything. They don't care. They don't care.
But it's one thing to say there are people who want to destroy him, and another to say it's the Democratic machine, when you don't know that.
No, I agree with you. I wouldn't have put that out either.
Up in a moment, more on what Herman Cain said and what he didn't say in this week's press conference. Next up on the Talk Radio Countdown.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I meant to tell you, that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Do you only wear clothes that hide your psoriasis? Do you constantly have to explain your itching? Are you embarrassed by flaking or scaling? If you said yes to any of these questions, you're eligible to try a new treatment called SebaClear, risk-free. SebaClear has been found to help stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by psoriasis. SebaClear is a non-prescription topical treatment proven to help eliminate the reoccurrence of skin psoriasis. The results are so incredible that patients have described this formula as life-changing. Stop hiding under long-sleeve shirts and long pants. Call now for your risk-free trial of SebaClear. But hurry, this special offer won't last.
Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194. Try SebaClear risk-free. Call 1-800-467-9194. That's 1-800-467-9194.
Are your cable rates rising? Tired of being pushed around by your cable provider? It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. Packages start at just $19.99 a month for an entire year. That's right. Call now to get Dish Network installed free. Plus, ask how you can get over 30 premium channels free for 3 months. PMG Dish, a Dish Network authorized retailer, is waiting for your call and can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-620-7970. Imagine all your favorite movies, sports, and shows in 100% digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with a cable company anymore. At only $19.99 per month, they're practically giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-620-7970. That's 800-620-7970. Again, 800-620-7970. Limited time offer, prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. 24-month agreement required. Cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
It's time for extra savings at the PetSmart Veterans Day Sale. You'll find great deals when you use your PetPerks card. Save $10 on select Purina Pro Plan Shredded Blends dog food in 35-pound bags. And look for $5 holiday bonus bucks offers on qualifying Purina products. Don't miss these Veterans Day deals and more. Wednesday through Tuesday only at PetSmart. Happiness in store. While supplies last, offers valid November 9th through the 15th. Holiday bonus bucks valid through 2/29/2012. One for transaction. Good on your next purchase of $5 or more Purina products.
Talk Radio in Review, a unique program that's on every day for a couple of hours. In this hour, we're focusing on Herman Cain and the presidential race. On Current TV, Keith Olbermann talked to Marcos Melitzis from The Hill, which is a newspaper that covers what's going on Capitol Hill, about what Herman Cain did and didn't say at the Tuesday press conference.
There were so many extraordinary moments in the news conference there. Do you have a favorite?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Well, I love the part where he very earnestly said that he's seen as much sexual harassment against men by women as the other way around, which immediately tells you that he doesn't really understand what sexual harassment actually is. But I think my favorite moment was opening with his lawyer, because nothing says presidential material than defending yourself against these kind of charges by hiding behind your lawyer.
And not just a lawyer. That was Lynn Wood, who successfully, he's a slander and libel guy, and he successfully sued on behalf of the wrongly accused Olympic Park bomber, Richard Jewell, and then worked with the Ramsey family and Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer. And it's sort of like a dissent from the Richard Jewell case, where he was really on the side of the angels. But here's the word, Cain used the word slander about what Bialik said, and he used the word troubled. Why hasn't he's got Lynn Wood standing there. Why didn't he come out today and say, I'm suing?
Cain has already threatened the Politico with a lawsuit.
Yep.
But I think this is his problem. The truth is actually a defense in a slander case.
Yep.
And you have a situation where, sure, it's a he said versus she said, but she has sworn testimony or sworn statements from two people she told about the incident right after that. Not to mention that if you're a jury and you're looking at a pattern of cases where Cain has been accused and settled, as a sexual harassment, then it doesn't make Cain look really good. I mean, remember, you don't have people coming out and accusing Mitt Romney of sexual harassment or even Rick Perry, right? So this is not exactly a tactic that the so-called Democrat mm-hmm. machine will throw at whoever they want to. I mean, of course, we want we want Herman Cain to win the nomination.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine. And the more they think it's the liberal media out to get him, the happier I get, because I don't think Jesus loves us enough to give us Herman Cain to run against. That said, there's a pattern here, and I don't think any jury in their right mind would look at the situation and think that Herman Cain is on the right side of the issue.
Where do you think this puts him? I mean, is that over? Was that the end of it? Because it seemed to me that he was a couple of statements away from such mind-bending statements that he might have just spontaneously combusted before the end of the news conference.
Yeah, I was troubled, given that I do want him to survive and get the nomination. Obviously, it doesn't put an end to any of these questions. You have more people coming forward now. I mean, it's the media loves the story, so clearly they're not going to let it go. And what really worries me is that you're starting to see signs from social conservatives who are starting to say, ugh, you know, maybe this guy's not the kind of guy we want to nominate. And if I'm a conservative, that's not the part that's going to bother me, because if I'm a conservative, I think, you know, sexual harassment is no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not a conservative. But if I'm a conservative, I'm more worried about his reaction to scandal. I mean, compare this to what happened with Barack Obama back in 2007 when he was being attacked mercilessly in the press and by his critics and by candidates because of the Wright, Reverend Wright situation, mm-hmm. right? And the way he responded to that with his race speech was presidential material. You looked at that and you thought, okay, he can handle a crisis. Now you look at Herman Cain, you're a Republican, you say, can he handle a crisis? He's hiding behind his lawyer. I don't think that really bodes very well for him.
Tacos John and Ken talking to one of their callers about Gloria Allred's involvement in the scandal. Like her or not, her history shows that she and her clients are not liars.
I don't know why everybody's so shocked. Oh, it can't be Herman Cain. What the hell? I mean, seriously, most people never heard of Herman Cain until about 2 months ago. I don't understand it. It's not like a guy who's been in the public eye for 20 or 30 years and you're kind of shocked. It's like, oh my God, really him? Because you think you know him because you've seen him in public for so long and you have an emotional investment in him. And I'm Herman Cain. He's a godfather, a CEO of Godfather Pizza. I don't understand the sudden religious-like deification of presidential candidates, even minor ones, who seem crazy.
They're not Obama. They're on my side somehow.
It's really weird, okay? Well, you think he's the first CEO to go grabbing some rear end, grabbing some breasts? First guy going on business trips, cheating on his wife? Really?
Who's the liar, Herman Cain or Sharon Gaylor?
Hey, the pattern I see here is Gloria Allred. What does she like to do? She likes to drag politicians through the mud. Didn't she just go through this a little while ago with Meg Whitman?
Was she wrong?
Yeah. How wrong is it to have an illegal alien work for you?
It's not the question. She presented that Meg Whitman knowingly had an illegal alien in her house
and underpaid her.
Allred was not wrong on the facts of the case.
But I'm not convinced that Meg Whitman actually knew that that person was illegal and really didn't matter at the time. Do you guys have cleaning the restrooms there or doing the...
You're changing the subject.
We're not running for president or governor.
The only issue is, when Gloria Allred brings one of her clients, is what the client is saying true or not? That's all that matters here. And you're mucking it up with, you're changing the subject, going on another issue. I'm saying, I said this before, go through her history. You know, we've been aware of her, you know, for the last 20 years or so. When has she brought a client publicly whose story turned out to be false, turned out to be a hoax? I can't think of one.
Her clients may not be the most likable story people, or their issues may be weird, but John's right. I mean, just remember the Amber Fry was one of her clients.
Yeah.
The Scott Peterson murder. The murder that Scott Peterson committed.
She,
lazy.
All right. So, you know,
mistress.
That's the standard of Gloria Allred. You know, yes, she's irritating. Yes, she's not likable. But that's not the point. Yes, she may be on the wrong side politically. That's not the point. Think of all the clients she brought for.
Coming up, more on Herman Cain's harassment scandal. That's next on The Countdown.
Whatever winter activity you enjoy, from snowmobiling, snowshoeing, skiing, or camping, there's inherent danger that you may find yourself having to stay warm. Be ready with InstaFire, a revolutionary, safe, simple, and versatile fire starter. InstaFire is a patented blend of volcanic rock, wood pellets, and paraffin wax that gets a fire blazing in just minutes. InstaFire is self-sustaining fire that starts right on top of snow or water and even burns wet wood. Sound incredible? It is. Check it out at InstaFire.com, a must for any outdoor winter activity. InstaFire easily lights with matches or flintlock lighters, is environmentally friendly, stores easy, is lightweight, comes in a variety of sizes, and starts at $1.25 for a single pack or only $59.95 for a 5-gallon pail with free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com, spelled InstaFire.com, or call 888-482-4868. That's 888-482-4868. Safe, simple, versatile. InstaFire.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. This holiday season, more than half of our nation is in need of help due to the shattered economy. So now is the time to express the holiday spirit more than ever. Consider helping those you love with the most important gift, a supply of delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. Their holiday gift and family pack start at $99 for a 16-day supply, while their 5-week supply of quick and easy-to-fix meals includes a personal backpack in case of a grab-and-go emergency. Order their combo gift pack, and you'll save hundreds, plus get free shipping on your entire order. Call eFoods today at 800-409-5633 or visit them online at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the special. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
What is on the radio and what is on television in terms of conversation, the news, and the talk about the news? That's what we do here on the Talk Radio Countdown. And that includes Herman Cain and the accusations of harassment against him. Here's our Steve Adubato talking to Joel Bennett, a lawyer representing one of the women who worked at the National Restaurant Association and has accused Cain of harassment.
Joel, do me a favor. Is it Karen Krashauer?
Yes.
And tell folks, she is one of the two women who reached a settlement with the Restaurant Association. Is it for $45,000?
We aren't discussing the or disclosing the specific amount yet. It was a monetary settlement, and it was a confidential settlement agreement. We're in the process of working out with the National Restaurant Association attorney a further waiver of the confidentiality in the agreement. And once that is done, we expect to have a joint press conference with one or more of the other women who filed complaints.
So why did your client not want to go public? Because she was outed, if you will. Why didn't she want to go public if, in fact, she wanted to make sure that this never happened again with Herman Cain involving other women? I don't understand that.
Okay, let me start from the beginning. In 1999, she was sexually harassed. She filed a detailed written complaint, and she settled it privately with the Restaurant Association in an agreement. At that time, she could have filed a charge with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She could have filed a charge with the District of Columbia Office of Human Rights. She could have filed a lawsuit in court. And she's the kind of person who doesn't want to become a public figure. She wanted to resolve it privately, and she did so. About 10 days ago, someone leaked her settlement agreement and the other settlement agreement to the news media, and then once Herman Cain was confronted with it and started saying the complaint was baseless and frivolous, she felt she had to respond in a limited manner, and we did that in the press conference that I held last Friday and the statement I issued under my name, disclosing some details that after we got the concurrence of the Restaurant Association. She had hoped to keep her identity private, but unfortunately that didn't happen, and now that her identity has been disclosed, we will be having a joint press conference with one or more of the other complainants to go into more detail.
Host Terry Miners here with Congressman John Yarmuth of Kentucky about the way Herman Cain has been handling this scandal.
It requires massive fundraising to run a campaign. He runs commercials on this station during Rush Limbaugh's show only, obviously speaking to the choir there, right. And he's saying, help me beat Obama. Help me. I need you to go to my web page or whatever it is and donate. But this, he claimed when this the first claim of sexual harassment came up that he raised a whole lot of money, that internet donations quadrupled, and he made $400,000 or whatever. I can't imagine that buzz continues in that same vein, that he's able to keep other people, many people who get behind candidates, have to sort of step back into the shadows now and say, what am I going to do now, right?
Exactly. And to be honest, I don't know why anybody would brag about that, because that can be interpreted so many different ways. Yeah, I got accused of this, and all those people give me money. What does that say about the type of people who are sending me money? I just think, you know, this is a very, very tough spot, and obviously, you know, it's something that no politician would ever want to get involved in, and certainly the best way to do that is never raise any question about your relationship with any person that you're dealing with in a business context. He obviously didn't do that. There are obviously some situations in which there is a misinterpretation of intent. With Ms. Bialik, that was the charges that she made don't lend themselves to any question as to what intent was. Certainly, if you compliment somebody on his or her looks, that can be misinterpreted, but not what she is charged he did. There are no witnesses to the event, and no witnesses to most of these events, and that's why they're so difficult to judge and to bring to conclusion. But again, this is a succession of events that certainly brings a lot of question about Herman Cain's behavior.
Coming up, we'll talk about Occupy Wall Street on the Countdown.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
This holiday season, find your magic at Macy's. Now through December 24th, bring your stamped letter addressed to Santa at the North Pole to Macy's and drop it in our special Believe letter boxes. For each letter received, Macy's will donate $1 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, up to $1 million. Believe in the power to change a child's life. Visit Macy's.com/believe to learn more, and together we'll collect 1 million reasons to believe. That's the magic of Macy's.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. We're back in the second half hour of this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. And the Occupy Wall Street protestors are front and center. Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, and Willie Geist on MSNBC talking to Eric Bates from Rolling Stone magazine about how the protests actually get started.
We talked this morning with Mayor Bloomberg about Occupy Wall Street, and you all write about it and look at where it all began and where it's going. Yeah. Where did it begin?
Well, it began with an ad and a tweet from a satirical magazine in Canada called Adbusters that put out a call for people to meet in New York and on Wall Street on September 17th. The idea was, they said, a change in revolutionary tactics. But in August, a smaller group met, about 60 people, didn't like what they saw. They thought that the people who were gathering were very kind of old left, a lot of, to them, outdated traditional organizing techniques, and they kind of split off and formed what they called the General Assembly, the New York General Assembly, and began to kind of plot their own way of doing this. When the protest started, Adbusters had called for 20,000 people. Only 2,000 showed up. But a 10 or 20 stayed overnight that first night, and that's kind of where it took off.
Where is it now? Well, we asked the mayor where it was now, and he said he wasn't even sure that it was a movement. What is Occupy Wall Street?
Well, it's certainly a movement. I mean, it's gone from here in New York City to 1,600 protests all over the world. Virtually every major city has one now. They're all of varying sizes. It's hard to call it a movement because they don't have a list of cohesive demands. In fact, their kind of demands are antithetical to them. They believe in a much more bottom-up sort of consensus-oriented approach, which has made it hard for them to cohere around a single set of principles or goals. But it has really changed the debate. There's no question about that, and it's not going anywhere.
Can you sum it up? Is it about we are the 99%?
I think at core it's about income inequality. I think they've been able to agree about that, at least, and that's really what's changed the discussion and put the focus on that. And that's where it should be, really. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And in addition to the crimes that took place on Wall Street over the past decade, you're talking about such a widening gap between average Americans and the super wealthy, basically.
So Jeff Charlotte writes in your magazine, which the article is entitled Welcome to the Occupation, almost everyone you meet in the park will tell you some variation of one thing. They don't want to go to Washington. They don't care what Congress or the New York Times or Bill Maher or Kanye West thinks of them. They aren't trying to provide a voice for the voiceless. They are doing it for themselves, and they speak for no one but themselves. They are the 99%. So So am I, so are you. Make your own demands if you want to. It seems when you read it that way, a little nebulous in terms of where it's going.
What a little nebulous? I mean, come on. We're not going to go to Washington. I mean, really, that's what we talk about all the time. They occupy Wall Street, or occupy Washington, or whatever it was called. Yesterday was protesting outside of the Reagan building for a Reagan fundraiser with a bunch of old people from middle America. And they had the White House a couple of blocks away. And weren't protesting there, not on Capitol Hill.
Is there a political angle to it, given what Joe just said? In other words, are they more Democrat than they are Republican, and therefore hesitant to go protest outside the gates where President Obama lives? Is that fair?
I think in general that they probably see Republicans and Democrats as two sides of the same corporate coin. These are people who really reject this system in its entirety and believe that incremental reforms to it aren't the way to go. I think there are a lot of people who sympathize with this movement who want to think about how to transform their ideas and energies into electoral reform, into legislative reform, but that's going to have to be people outside the movement who do that, because that's not what this movement is about. This movement is an upswelling of just pure frustration and outrage at business as usual.
Here's host Megan Mossack talking to Congressman Tim Hulskamp of Kansas about what he's seen of the Occupy Washington, D.C. protest.
What's going on in D.C.? I've seen a lot of reports from the Occupy Wall Street group in D.C. They've made a big presence there. They have some sort of tent city, very similar to Zuccotti Park in New York City. You know, here in Topeka, we don't have much of a presence. What have you noticed? Have you come across some of these people?
Megan, I have not, but this is our district work week where we go out to listen to Kansans instead of folks in Washington, D.C., and so if they set up camp last couple of days, they would have missed them. They weren't there last week, but there's one place they need to be if they're worried about the future of the country. They need to set up camp right outside the White House. There's the guy that is, I think, the main reason we got 25 million Americans looking for more work.
Well, and he's endorsed their presence in all of these major cities.
Well, very interesting. He's endorsed their presence, and he turns around and goes out and has multiple fundraisers with folks they claim to be targeting. And but, you know, this country doesn't run on big business. It's small business. That's what's happening is we've got Washington going the wrong direction and making it harder for small businesses to compete oftentimes with big businesses. And that's where the complaint should lie with all these regulators, all these folks that want to make it difficult for more jobs to be created in America rather than overseas. And I'm upset about that as well.
All right. Next in the focus, the fallout for Penn State is Joe Paterno resigns. That is next on the countdown.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible, especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Hi, I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups.
What do you love?
Women. Rats. Dirt, dirty river smell,
coated chicken baked in the oven.
But what do I love the most? I love my Lord.
That's a lot of love, and it's just a few voices from Life in a Day, the amazing YouTube documentary that collects videos from ordinary people around the world. And what does this guy love?
This is a Lamborghini.
Life in a Day is now on home video. Now this. You know, the easiest way to watch movies is instantly in your own home with your digital cable remote. Many movies are available on Movies on Demand on cable weeks before you can rent them on DVD. Here's what's hot on Movies on Demand on cable this week. Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds switch bodies in The Change-Up. Steve Carell tries to win back Julianne Moore in Crazy Stupid Love. And Ralph Fiennes wreaks havoc in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. See what's coming soon at rentmoviesondemand.com and make movie night an MOD night. That's Movies for Grown-Ups. I'm Bill Newcott.
Time, ladies and gentlemen, for the million bottle giveaway. You heard right. 1 million bottles of something that will protect that which is near and dear to both men and women. Men, your prostate, your well-being, your life. Women, intimacy, and a good night's rest. It starts with
taking the Master Prostate Formula. It starts now by your calling 800-716-6520. Master Prostate has 12 key ingredients shown to promote healthy prostate function, help you get a good night's rest. It's all natural. The best part is you can get a free bottle, part of the Master Prostate Million Bottle Giveaway. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee, and your bottle is on its way. 800-716-6520. Call that now. Get a good night's rest. Take my word for it. Master Prostate is incredible. Try it now. Free. The free bottle offer won't last. Call now. 800-716-6520.
This is Troy Aikman
and Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
If you're like most people, you're probably holding off until Black Friday to start your holiday shopping.
The countdown has begun.
Well, then you're already behind.
What?
Rent-A-Center's pre-Black Friday sale is going on right now.
Oh, man.
Get to Rent-A-Center and beat the holiday rush for amazing pre-Black Friday deals on Sony smart TVs and Acer laptops. But you better hurry.
Out of my way!
See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
8 hours is a long time, especially when your child has a fever. That's why you should use Children's Advil. It can relieve your child's fever for up to 8 hours with just one dose. In fact, nothing works longer than Children's Advil. And the medicine in Children's Advil is the number one pediatrician-recommended children's fever reducer. So when your child has a fever, provide them with relief that will last up to 8 hours with just one dose. Children's Advil, the 8-hour fever reliever.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
Our attention now focused on Penn State and the sex scandal that has rocked the school's athletic department. Here's how Steve Corbett with Congressman Patrick Meehan of Pennsylvania, who thinks the feds need to step in and investigate what the heck is going on at Penn State.
I was taken with your pre-prompt action to call for an inquiry from the United States Department of Education into whether or not federal law was broken by the failure of Penn State officials to properly report these allegations of sexual abuse. What motivated you to act that quickly?
Well, Steve, like anybody who was a parent, remarkably concerned about the allegations as they came in, and only grew more so once had an opportunity to read the grand jury report. But I first, a sense of obligation as a congressperson and one who had worked for the Clery Act as the United States attorney. But let me say that I was beginning to follow, as all of us were, various news accounts, and I saw the defense that was being raised, at least by some, that somehow the university may not have had a reporting requirement because of idiosyncrasies in the juvenile law or the, you know, with respect to the responsibility to report abuse under Pennsylvania statutes. And as I was listening to this game of, you know, legal parsing, I thought, well, you know, let me look at the facts here, because there might not be, in this particular case, they might be making some argument about state jurisdiction, but I think that there's federal responsibilities here. And when I looked at the facts, I'm more convinced of it than ever, Steve. Here's where it comes down. Under the federal statutes, known as the Clery Act, there's a responsibility on colleges and universities who receive federal funding to report any crimes that committed on campus, or at least articulated crimes committed on campus, and they include sexual assault. It is a legacy of a murder that occurred years ago at the Lehigh University campus, and it's a national program started by Connie Clery in memory of her daughter, and it enables the people who are looking to go to the school or in the community to have a legitimate, accurate understanding of the crime or dangers on that campus. Now, Penn State was under that obligation in 2002. In addition, Penn State itself had well-defined program in which they advertised that in order to be in accordance with the Clery Act, when a crime is reported, they would have it investigated by the university police. So we know under the law they have an obligation to report crime. You know, under the facts of the grand jury report, the 10-year-old boy being sexually assaulted, a crime was committed on that campus. We know that the graduate assistant, now known to be Mike McQuarrie, brought that to the attention of Penn State authorities in graphic detail. And we know that being the case, under the Clery Act, they have a responsibility to report it. Once reported, it should have been investigated according to their policies. So go back to 2002. Had they reported it and conducted an investigation, there's a very real chance they would have had testimony from McQuarrie at the time. There's a real possibility they would have been able to identify who the 10-year-old boy was. And the fact of the matter is, if you have those two things, in addition to just a little bit of inquiry to recognize that there had been a similar kind of investigation in 1998 of Sandusky, seems to me it'd have an awful lot of evidence to conduct the kind of investigation that might have prevented this in 2002. And it's stunning to me that a decade later, we are just now finding out about those incidents. And I am concerned about what may have happened between that time.
Here's Talk Host Mike Francesca with another host named Kim Jones in State College with a focus on the future.
What did you take from Paterno's statement, Kim? What do you think is going to be the reaction? There's word coming out just in the last couple of minutes that the president will be ousted this afternoon. So where are we now, and what do you think about everything?
Couple of things, Mike, about 8 o'clock this morning I heard definitively, or fairly, you know, about as definitively as you can hear, that Graham Spanier is out, that is the president of Penn State. The fact that it's coming out now and is imminent is not a surprise given the fact that last night when the Board of Trustees met, I was told that in that board meeting, Graham Spanier's support dwindled and the trustees who favored Spanier were ostracized from the group, essentially. So Graham Spanier simply did not have enough trustees on his side to survive this. There is still a potential that he faces criminal charges. Linda Kelly, the state attorney general, opened the door for that on Monday, or kept open the door for that on Monday. There are people here at Penn State who believe he will face charges in this investigation. And Graham Spanier being out, I believe is imminent. It might have happened over the past few minutes. It would not surprise me whatsoever if that is the next headline in this case. And Tom Ridge, a name that was thrown about that Board of Trustees meeting in terms of a man who could come in here, stabilize things. I'm not convinced he would be, say, the president of Penn State, but perhaps acting in that role in order to stabilize things. But we'll have to see where that goes. That was just something the Board of Trustees was considering. As far as Joe Paterno goes, don't think for a minute that Joe Paterno was not aware that while Graham Spanier fell completely out of favor, at least during, if not before, that Board of Trustees meeting last night, that Joe Paterno was that members of the Board of Trustees were on Joe's side. And what I mean by that is, I believe that is why Paterno announced today he will retire at the end of the season. I believe Joe Paterno knew one way or another he was connected to that meeting, and I believe he knew that he would not be fired. And I believe that is why, and I've used the word gracefully simply because he is not being ousted. He is not being fired. I believe after he got that feeling and was convinced of that, I believe he then announced his retirement, because why in the world would he announce his retirement today at the end of the season, knowing that this board today, tomorrow, Friday, could fire him? It wouldn't make sense.
Radio man John McConnell here with a caller who thinks it's not enough that Paterno is resigning. He ought to be in jail.
Mike's on a cell phone. What do you say, Mike?
My take on this is that the wrong idea is being spread around altogether. Not only should Joe Paterno not coach, he should be in jail. He should have been arrested with the two other officials, the athletic director and the vice president. Mm-hmm. The president should be fired from the university. The janitor should be gone. That wide receivers coach, who is a grad assistant, who actually witnessed the boy being sodomized and had to call his father first before presenting it to Joe Paterno, they should all be put in jail. All of them knew that Sandusky was not arrested. They knew that Sandusky was questioned at some point by campus police and his keys taken away, and then he was shipped to a satellite campus and continued with the program for at-risk youth that was a feeding ground for him to continue with this. So people talking about Paterno coaching and not coaching, he should be fired and arrested and taken to jail for allowing 10-year boys to be sodomized for an extra 10 to 12 years because he chose not to do anything. He was told about it. He told his boss about it. He saw that Sandusky was not arrested. Then he should have called the police because he knew what happened. So when you say, okay, I told my boss did nothing, you have a moral obligation to stop forcing being sodomized, and you know boys are being sodomized, and you did nothing. You know you saw this unless we were still on the campus.
All right, let's move on. Fast and Furious finally back. There's an investigation going on. Why the heck haven't we been talking about this more? We'll find out next on The Countdown.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
All right, Fast and Furious investigation included in our countdown again today. Here's host Simon Conway with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa about Eric Holder's appearance at the Senate hearings on this week.
You had Attorney General Eric Holder in front of you. Can I ask, first of all, for your general impressions on how that went?
Yeah, he did a lot of dodging and weaving, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothered me is he didn't seem to be very alarmed that nobody in his department notified him that the guns found at Agent Terry's murder scene were from the Fast and Furious operation.
Hmm. I have to say that's one of the things that disturbed me the most, because when given an opportunity to offer an apology to the family of Agent Terry, Brian Terry, he declined to do so.
And I don't understand why. It would have been so humanitarian for him to do it, and I don't know whether it's because I don't know him well enough to say he's arrogant, but it could be an arrogant attitude that he has that he just isn't going to do it.
Mm. Well, he hasn't picked up the phone and called the family either, has he?
No, not at all. And you'd think that he would feel some responsibility to do that based on the fact that Fast and Furious is a Justice Department operation.
Hmm. I mean, he said, and I'm quoting him, that it's not fair to assume that mistakes made during Fast and Furious directly led to Terry's death. Well, but the guns that killed him were our guns.
Yeah, and two guns were found at the scene of the murder.
Mm. We still think there might have been a third one, don't we? I know we can't actually nail that down, but there seems to be a lot of smoke about a third gun.
Yeah, well, you know, I raised that question because they had tests on gun 2 and 3, but they claim that number 1 was some sort of a urine or blood test or something, and so a sample 1. So I don't know whether that means that there really only were 2 guns there, or whether we still don't know whether there was 3 guns there, and we're still trying to find out.
He also blew off this when did he know about it stuff. You try to corner him on that, because, of course, last time he was in front of Congress, he said he'd only known about it for a few weeks, and you were able to prove that was a lie. And he basically just didn't seem to care much about that either.
No, that's right. And you know, we asked these questions in that letters that I gave him on January 31st, and then on February the 4th, they answered and said, well, that was all false information. Mm. None of it existed. Then, yet in February, we sent some samples of information that proved that the information in the February 4th letter was false, and they answered us again, no, it wasn't. And that's after we sent them documents showing that the information was a lie.
Host Jay Weber here focuses on the obvious lies that Attorney General Holder has been telling during the Fast and Furious hearings.
Eric Holder's testimony on Fast and Furious is getting attention, but the fact that he changed his story to Congress on Fast and Furious really isn't. And in changing that testimony to Congress, he essentially admitted that he lied in his initial testimony. How is this not bigger news? How is this not being accented? Holder finally testified in front of Congress about the ever-widening gun operation that was conducted by the ATF under his watch, and yet he claims he knew nothing about it. Well, then you're incompetent. Get out. But we've been tracking this over the months, far more closely than the ATF tracked the 2,000 guns that they let walk across the border and then lost, by the way. We've been tracking this for months, and what has become evident is that Holder knew about the operation, clearly. We have emails and correspondence and briefings that make it clear he was in the loop. He knew about this debacle. And yet, when he testified in front of Congress in the spring the first time, he categorically denied he knew anything about it. I didn't know anything about it until a couple of weeks ago, he claimed. Well, yesterday he began his testimony by admitting, quote, that the Justice Department provided inaccurate information to Congress on Fast and Furious the first time he testified. About when he learned of the controversial operation, he said, I was imprecise, meaning I lied. Holder said that a February 4th letter to congressional investigators was also wrong. That letter denied that he and they knew anything about it. He said the justice officials learned only sometime after they sent that letter that the tactic known as gunwalking had been extensively used in the Phoenix-based Fast and Furious operation. So what he was saying is, without saying it, I lied the first time. I was imprecise about what I said. When you thought I lied, that wasn't lying. I was just being imprecise. And that letter that we sent you on February 4th, categorically denying that we knew anything about this, it turns out that that was sort of wrong information, too. So what he's saying is, our first categorical denial that we knew nothing has now been exposed as a lie. So we're going to claim it was based on bad information. Honest mistake to cover our lie.
So are they lies or not? You make up your own mind, and you can get a lot of information that may help you make up your mind in the countdown box. The section is prominently located right in the homepage at DougStephan.com.